Today's episode is brought to you by Canva. We're all looking for ways to make an impact at work, but not all of us are skilled in visual design. Canva helps you get your point across, simply and beautifully. It's easy to design Canva presentations, docs, whiteboards, and videos. You start with a designer-made template and customize it with your content. Plus, add graphics, charts, and more from Canva's massive media library. Whatever department you work in, Canva is perfect for any task. Sales decks, hiring docs, marketing brainstorms, employee videos, you name it. Anyone at work can design with Canva. Start designing today at canva.com. Designed for work.
I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and in true She Pivots fashion, we're highlighting moms who've dedicated their lives and their pivots to supporting mothers. The iconic Christy Turlington will join us to talk about launching Every Mother Counts after pivoting from her 90s supermodel days. And later, the co-CEOs of Baby to Baby will share how they're addressing the needs for millions of babies and moms. So tune in and subscribe to She Pivots. New episodes out every Wednesday. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Brainstuff, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, Brainstuff, Lauren Vogelbaum here. 11.8% of American households, that's about 40 million people, experienced food insecurity, which is the lack of financial resources to buy sufficient food at least some of the time in 2017, according to the United States Department of Agriculture. One way of fighting this could be community food forests. Food forests are a far cry from community gardens, as they're not rows and rows of standard plant beds. Instead, they're designed to mimic natural forests using food-bearing trees, roots, greens, vines, and other plants, while making the most of the space available. As a result, food forests are picturesque and calming gathering areas for community members looking to enjoy a piece of nature while picking whatever produce they need for free. We spoke with Giuseppe Tallarico, an agronomist specializing in permaculture, food security, and environmental management systems, who is also the founder and manager of the World Permaculture Association. He said, "The concept behind food forests is that natural forests are highly productive in their own right and totally self-sustainable over extremely long timeframes. So, by following the functional patterns that exist in a natural forest and adapting them to the conditions of light and space that each species need in order to be productive, we can create very low-maintenance production zones that are essentially harvest systems." By mimicking natural patterns in nature as much as possible, the hope is that every species' needs, humans, animals, and plants, will be met in a sustainable way. Although there's some wiggle room for layout based on the local environment, a typical food forest is designed with a canopy of large nut and fruit trees, followed by a lower tree layer of dwarf fruit trees. Next is a shrub layer composed of shrubs that produce berries, followed by a layer of herbs, and then by root crops such as potatoes and carrots. The soil's surface is planted with ground cover-specific crops, and finally, a layer of vertical climbers and vines like grapes or kiwis is incorporated. Most of these spaces aren't even all that huge.
In fact, when it opens, Atlanta's urban food forest at Brown's Mill will be the city's first and the largest in the U.S. at 7.1 acres. That's about 2.8 hectares. Even better, food forests are often planned to make use of previously wasted space. The Dr. George Washington Carver Edible Park in Asheville, North Carolina, took over an area once occupied by a trash heap. And the Glendale Community Garden in West Akron, Ohio, was created on a vacant lot, an all-too-common eyesore in cities across the country. It's not unusual for community churches, schools, and governments to establish food forests of whatever size they can manage with the help of civic organizations and volunteers. But one food forest in a given city isn't going to totally eradicate the issue of hunger, of course. The Atlanta Urban Food Forest is one prong of a citywide effort to make healthy food accessible to 85% of city residents by the year 2022. We spoke via email with Mike McCord, a forest ranger with Trees Atlanta. He said, the area is a USDA-classified food desert, so benefiting the immediate neighborhood is the primary goal. A group of neighbors manages the community garden and herb area, while Trees Atlanta and other partners manage the orchard and forested sections of the land. Although food forests are free and open to the public, they may ask visitors to only harvest food when forest managers are present to prevent people from accidentally damaging the plants or taking produce that isn't ready yet. The movement is now gaining steam, but food forests took a while to get off the ground. The Asheville food forest was the first of its kind in the modern United States, although Tallarico notes that human agroecology systems have been used for ages in many communities, such as those in Java, Bali, New Guinea, and parts of Central and South America. A couple more popped up here and there after Asheville's launch in 1997, but it wasn't until after Seattle's Beacon Hill food forest garnered much publicity in 2012 that these projects really started to gain traction. As of 2018, there are more than 70 food forests established across the United States, and thousands more around the world. Today's episode was written by Alia Hoyt and produced by Tyler Klang. BrainStuff is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more on this and lots of other eco-friendly topics, visit our home planet, howstuffworks.com. And for more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.